Okay, Chris, you had some questions you wanted to ask when we got to the spreadsheet.
Yeah, I did have some specific questions, James, but I think that I'm understanding what Kim says a little bit here. So what Kim is saying is that through the first 5 months, the actuals that we've gotten from Neta show a $140,000 deficit. If I haven't looked at the January figures again, so I don't know whether that's accurate or not, but let's assume for a moment that it is. And BII is projecting a loss of $90 for the year. That means that they're projecting a gainful balance of the year for the remaining 7 months. Now, I think the reason that Kim is calling that into question is because that would mean that the first half projections would have to be a lot lower than they are, and the second half projections would have to be higher. In other words, the generous I'm not coming up with the right wording here. The fact that that everything's averaged throughout the entire year and you've already missed for the first 5 months, I'm not blaming anybody for this, by the way. I'm just trying to understand Kim's objection, and I think I do. The $140,000 deficit is actually right in line with about a $300,000 a year loss. So making up that difference isn't just a matter of doing better since the beginning of the fiscal year. It's a matter of doing like way better for the balance of the fiscal year. And that is not reflected in the budget. And I understand, you know, the implications of all that and what that means to the organization. And I know you do too, James, because we've discussed it. So I am a bit concerned. I am a bit concerned. Also, I want to point out that Gary Knoll is, you know, a notable anti-vaxxer. And so getting vaccinated people to come see his event doesn't seem like a very likely plan for a successful event to me. Once again, I'm not criticizing Gary Knoll for his views, although I could. I'm merely stating the facts. And so it seems wildly speculative to me to stuff a bunch of people into a stadium that vehemently disagree with the position that it would take to get them into that venue. So I'm worried about that as well. There's a little problem with the spreadsheet that I just wanted to point out, and that's that there's no comparables for lines 70 through 80. I don't know. It probably wasn't intentional. It was probably just an oversight, but I would really like to see this spreadsheet with comparables for lines 70 to 80. And I would like the opportunity to compare this spreadsheet to actuals. So I'm kind of feeling a bit overwhelmed with all of that this evening. And I'm guessing that other people are feeling a bit overwhelmed too, but I will leave that to the body to figure out. Thank you.
What is the 70 to 80 line you're talking about? I didn't understand that.
Line 70 to 80 in the expense column don't have comparables. That's the wages and salaries section. They don't have comparables to the. Anyway, thank you.
May I make a comment, Ms. Julia?
Go ahead, Julia.
We're told, I think we had those there in one of the versions, and then we ended up splitting when you were making some changes and you went back to your version.
Yeah.
So we can update that.
You can update that, Julia, but that wouldn't be available tonight, obviously.
Correct.
Bertold, I have a question about the people needing a vaccination to get into the Gary Knoll event. And I should know this, but I don't. I understood that New York was more or less opening up, but do they still require vaccination to get into a theater or a forum like that for Gary Knoll?
As of right now, I believe they.
You believe they do? Bertel, I didn't get that.
You might have gotten disconnected.
We may have lost him, James. Sounds like he got cut off.
Fred, can you see if we lost Bertel?
One moment. He's still listed on the panel. And he's
okay, Bertel, I don't know what's going on, but we can't hear you.
I'll call him real quick.
Okay. Does anyone else from New York know? I haven't been following the news on this particular subject, but is the governor lifting those kinds of restrictions yet, or?
It's kind of looking like they're about to, but for instance, on public transportation, you're still going to have to wear a mask and stuff. Right now it's kind of odd. I think there is room for confusion about exactly what's going where. I think, what is it, tomorrow, the schools, you don't have to wear a mask. And,
right.
You know, there are people on one side and on the other, and they're arguing about it. So, at some point, they're going to drop the vaccination requirement to go into places. I'm not sure exactly when it is, but I suspect that if the Gary Null event is in, like, June, I think that's when he said it's going to be. I think by June, they're probably going to have dropped that, if we're lucky.
Right. If we don't go in the whole other direction again. All right. Thank you, Arpaul.
Online it says it was dropped for the 11th. Oh, and I tried to call Bertel, the call won't even go through.
Jeez. Well,
I can drop him from the teleconference and he can call back.
Good idea.
Yeah, let's try that, Fred. Thank you.
Hello?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I got disconnected. I heard some blank.
No worry.
Okay.
We were talking about, actually, while you were gone, if you can remember where you left off, do that. And then do you remember what you were saying when you were cut off?
Well, I basically explained how realistic the small increments in revenue and expenses.
Okay, let me ask you about a question we discussed while you were gone. The whole Gary Null thing with the vaccination required to get into the venue where he wants to have his event. We were discussing.
Oh, yeah,
I just want to know if you have any more recent information than our Paul and I, who, you know, I haven't been watching it that closely. Our Paul had been watching it a little more closely. What's the status of people being able to go into venues now without having to show proof of vaccination? Is that not, aren't they talking about changing that in the relative near future?
Yes.
Do you know anything about that?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah. Yes, they are, but we are going under the assumption that they are not. So, you know, we understand that either you are vaccinated or you have proof of, it's just like you're going on the plane, you have to have proof that your COVID test is negative 24 hours before you get into the event or, and then you have
to
wear a
mask. Oh, it's vaccinated or prove that you're negative?
Yes.
Okay,
and a mask. And a mask. And Gary Noah was thinking about everybody wear a mask and then the plastic thing that you put in front of your face. To put that
the shield.
The shield.
Okay, so if everybody has a mask and they have proof of a negative test within a certain number of days or hours, whatever, then that event can go forward. And there's a possibility that they might take away the vaccination requirement to go inside certain venues. So, okay, it's still a little iffy, but that does make it a little more clear for us.
Yeah, it's iffy. But this event is projected for late April, like April 18th, something like that. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. For the
all right, SOBs, go ahead.
For the SOBs, it's projected for June for that reason. Usually it's in May, but we are projecting to have that event in June to be safe.
You're pushing it back. Understood.
Yeah.
Okay, there were some other questions that Kim had asked you earlier. She had listed a number of areas where she was concerned about the
My questions have been answered as far as they're going to be answered. I'm satisfied.
Okay. Oh, so I'll ask a question, Bertold, and this is something we were going back and forth on when we were looking at this. I think on your fulfillment rate on the narrative, you said WBI averages 83%. Is that a typo? Did you mean to say 88.3%?
Yes, 88.3% in 2021 and 87.3% in 2022 so far.
Okay, so based on our previous conversations when I asked you if your actual fulfillment rate is 88%, why are you estimating it at 79.8%, and you gave me that speech that you just gave us about you like to leave some room there, a cushion, in case things don't work out, which I can appreciate, but that's a pretty big cushion from 88% to 79.8%. I was just wondering why you kept it low like that. Is it just to give yourself a cushion?
It's to give me a big question, you know, because, I mean, as you can see, Kim has some skepticism about some other numbers and things like that. So 79.8%, you know, that's a shaving close to 9%, 8.5% of the fulfillment rate. So I wanted to have that so in case the listener support or the corporate match or the BI buddy theater tickets do not come up to the numbers that we projected, we have this cushion, you know, and that cushion is a pretty big cushion. It's 9%.
All right. I just want to say that your cushion here doesn't help skepticism on numbers elsewhere. So, I mean, if we're going to have to redo some of this, I'm going to be asking you to use closer to an actual fulfillment rate and then maybe not, you know, be so optimistic in some other area. All right. Did you want to answer any of these other questions? The BAI buddy, the increase in the BAI buddy, was that based on a trending increase, or is that based on your idea for the, you know, you've been doing, last month you did a campaign for the tower rent. This month you're doing a campaign for Women's Month. Actually, you had Black History Month also. Are you projecting better results here based on those changes? Somebody needs to mute. Is that you, Julia?
Is it loud?
Can somebody mute Julia, maybe?
Well, you know, no, it's
okay.
Me.
Okay.
Well, the BI buddy, you know, right now we're having a 30-day campaign to increase the buddies. While we are doing regular fundraising, we are doing 7 to 10 times. We're playing a three-minute PSA, telling people that you know, telling people to become a BI buddy in honor of Women History Month, and we're playing the clips. So it is clear that the BI buddy is going to increase. Is it going to increase by 100? Yeah. So that would be like 100 divided by 30. So that would be increase of 3 people per day.
And that's not something, Virgil, that's not something you've done before, right?
No, we haven't had a hardcore BI buddy campaign in like 10 years. The last time we did this, we went from, I don't know, $50 of support, listener support, sustained support to $15,000. You know, we had a 30-day.
So you're making a modest, you're making what seems like a relatively modest projection of increased revenue based on a new program that you haven't tried before. But, you know, theoretically, if you only need three extra buddies a day, buddies, again, are sustaining members at 15, which average $15 a month. If you only need three more of those a day during this campaign, that's not wildly optimistic.
We are asking every producer to come up with one BI buddy per hour per week. You know, bring your mother, your cousin, your friend. You know, you have four people. You know that. So, you know, for 4 weeks, that's four buddies, each producer, each show, whatever they have to do. That would bring you way over this number. You know, like, because if, you know, you have like, you know, 10 hours a day of prime time, each of those hours, if they each bring one BI buddy, that's a lot of buddies. We don't expect they're all going to do that, but some of them will bring more. And then with the pitch that we have in between, we think that we can increase this by 100 people. By 100 people, then we will increase the buddy by 1,500 because they average $15 per person. Some people give 100, some people give 5, 10, but the average is $15 per person.
And part of this equation, and forgive me, I'm kind of monopolizing the time here, but part of this equation is it's kind of a new paradigm for WBAI, but it's if you have a program that's doesn't seem to have many listeners and you're not bringing in donations, this is an opportunity to bring in some revenue in a different way by getting sustainer members for your show, or else, you know, eventually we're going to have to reconsider the grid and see if we can't make some changes to get some shows in there that would produce enough revenue to keep the radio station on the air. Is that in conversations with the executive director, we've been talking about the need not just to make cuts, but especially at WBI and KPFK, we need to increase revenue. You can't just cut until you're out of existence. You have to increase revenue. So this is a way of getting to that.
It's four BI buddies for the month per show. You know,
I was asking about the big picture. Bertel, I was asking about the big picture. Am I getting the big picture right? We need revenue. Okay.
We need revenue. Yeah. And I would rather go in a positive way. You know, we at WBI Pacifica. So the idea is just like we did $80,000 with the tower rent because the producers participated strongly, we can do this.
Yeah.
We can easily do this. Yeah.
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. In discussing this, we also have to keep some things in mind. One of the things is donor fatigue. And we're pitching pretty much every day. And that's, you know, even though we're only doing it like three and a half hours each day, that's still hitting those more mainstream time slots with a lot of pitching. It becomes regular. And so you have a situation where we're going to have to watch out for donor fatigue, I think, for this. And in terms of BAI Buddy, we've been pitching BAI Buddies for the past year or so. So it's, I don't know what this is about. We last did a big thing for BAI Buddies years ago. It's much more recent than that. And then we have to keep in mind that what we set as a goal isn't necessarily going to make it happen. I remember that the original goal of the Emergency Tower Fund was $250,000. And after some weeks, it got reduced to $100,000, and the net-net seems to be $88,000. So we have to keep in mind that just because we're saying that we're really going to do something, and I don't know, somehow you think it's feasible, I'm not sure how, it ain't going to work that way necessarily. And we have to keep that in mind and keep donor fatigue in mind, and maybe some kind of a plan B would be a good concept for, you know, making sure that if we really get people dragged out, say like by the summer, with so much pitching, that maybe we can find something else to do. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's my thought. Well, thank you.
I agree with that. I'd like to address the donor fatigue because there are new members here, so I'd like to address that. I think that's important. That's exactly why we do the 52-week schedule. In the past, we had 30 days, and then we lost a third of our listenership. I don't think that's going to happen now because any one-hour show is only preempted once a month or once every 6 weeks in case of music or different shows. But no shows is preempted more than once a month unless there's an extra vacation or something of that sort. So that's how we are diversifying where the pitch is happening. You know, I mean, if you have a 9 a.m. Monday preempted this week, it's not going to be preempted for another 4 weeks. So people can expect to hear that show for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So I think that should not be a concern. But listener fatigue definitely should be a concern. When we make the money, sometimes we slow down and then we play programming instead of pitching. Some days we make 9,000. And so that's the idea. Also, if you're looking at 7 a.m. to even 7 p.m., that's 12 hours. If each show had one buddy, that would be 12 buddies. We're not projecting that. We're projecting four. I'm projecting four. Three buddies per day. The tower rent, I never expected to make $250. But I did not want to go to the listeners and tell them again, we are broke, we couldn't pay our tower, I will need to make the money to pay. So I felt that it was better to say, why don't we pay the whole thing for the year and make $250 that would cover the whole year? So that was more in a positive way of presenting this. And I think it worked. Even though we did not meet our goal, I never expected to meet that goal. And it gave us an idea of what we can do. We can do 88,000, almost 100,000. So we can aim for 100,000 and expect like 75. The next time we do a campaign like that.
Chris, for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
I just have one very specific question. So on line 18 for the 2021 actuals, we're showing 340,147. What percentage of that is PPP funding? Thank you.
Say that again, on line 18.
Yes, on line 18, it's actually AH18. So for the 2021 actuals, it shows $340,147. I believe that some of that is PPP forgiveness, and I'm just wondering portion of it is.
Oh, what portion of that?
How much of that? I'm guessing it's around 250 or 300, but I don't know.
Yeah, I can get you that number. Okay.
Julia might know.
I know because I've just been looking at the actuals for 21, and Bertol's actuals don't actually sort of line up with the NEMA's actuals for 21. And the amount of PPP was 255. I think that 340 was a bequest, which is why it's on line 18 of grants, bequests, and others. So I'm seeing just different numbers sort of all over the place, and
R. Paul for a something.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. Let's see. We talked about that on the committee, and let's see. We had one thing that was a bequest that was 200. Well, it was more than one bequest. It was two, but one of them was 200,000. The other was 5,000. So a total of 205 for bequests, and so that's in there. And then the PPP money was, I think, about 127, something like that.
129, 157, 96.
No, so, well, okay. Even a bigger number than I saw. So I think those are the numbers for the PPP and the bequest. And you add them together, and there's something on the order of 450.
So,
okay. That's not what's showing, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, Julia, what's do we know what the difference is there?
Well, we're going to have to reissue this anyway with the actuals that we had on the original, you know, a couple of versions back that I had put on there. So the next version we'll send out this week that has the correct
EPA
columns on it.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Bertel, did you have anything else to add, or shall I go to other questions?
I don't have anything else to add here.
Okay. Are there any other questions? So it sounds like we're going to be coming back to this next week.
I have one question.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Admitting that I'm newish to the public radio world, one of the comments was made about donor fatigue, which I absolutely respect. I mean, I've worked in nonprofits for years, so it's the same everywhere. But when we talk about that concern and, quote, having other ideas, what is an example of other ideas that does not keep adding to donor fatigue?
Oh, I've always likened it to bake sales. We could have a bake sale.
I
mean, that is a joke, of course. Meaning we have outside events, we have other things. You know, for example... Sorry, go ahead.
People are always saying, we don't want to pitch. We don't want to pitch all the time. I get that. But we're in a financial crisis at this point. And so if we're not asking, if we're not fundraising during certain times, what are a couple of specific ideas that are different? And, you know, given that, I feel like there's a little bit of more diversity and some of the things that I hear, maybe it's just because Berthold and I have talked about it more, but and he's more specific with his breakdown of how he attacks the revenue is, you know, theater tickets, the buddies, the special events with that whoever, you know, the fun the tower type things. What other type of things are there that are ideas that something like he's already doing?
I'd like to take a stab at that.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to take just a quick stab at that. I hear some others who want to say something as well. But I think one thing I've read about is that when you are in a situation where you need to do a turnaround, the thing to do is focus on your, when turnaround experts come into a situation that's failing, they say focus on your core business. Our core business is radio. We have one of the biggest promotional devices on the planet, which is a radio station. Other people pay money on commercial radio stations to get access to that audience that we can provide. So I think we need to put some stuff on the radio that more people will be interested in making a contribution to. But I also think we need to do a little bit of changing in the way that we do it. You know, commercial radio stations do, in the interstitial between programs, they do commercials. And, of course, they do commercial breaks during the program. Seems like these, for example, these Women's History Month, little short interstitial commercials, if you will, or pitches, if you will, we should, I've been saying this for years, we should be doing that all the time. And it's not going to grate on the listeners' ears. It's something, I mean, this is, we're talking about Shirley Chisholm, talking in 1968 about her campaign for president as the first black woman from any major party to run for and be nominated for president. And it's interesting. I heard it. It's fantastic. I love it. So we should be doing that all the time and into the future. So I'm hoping this is not just a quote-unquote campaign, but we get used to doing that. Did I hear somebody else?
Yes, Bertol.
Go ahead, Bertol.
Yeah. So there are those. There are also grants. I mean, as a network, we don't get any grants. And that's what I'm looking forward to, Stephanie, to help us write grants. We don't have, you know, a development director. We don't have a development team at any local station because we don't have the funds. I think at the national level, there should be a grant team that writes grants. Grants are hundreds of thousands of dollars. Also, one of the things that I did not put in this budget is podcasts. WBA has been launching our podcast. We've been successful. We have a bunch of shows. Leonard Lopez has had 1 million downloads in 3 years. So that means he's been having 350,000 a month, I mean, a year about for 3 years. And we have a bunch of other shows that we have been getting downloads. You can actually go into WBI podcast and subscribe and get every time there's a new podcast and get it downloaded into your iPhone. So we are going to monetize that. We have a contract we're working on that so that we can put advertising on the podcast. We are allowed to do that. We just cannot do it on the air, but on the podcast we can do advertising. And so, or we can have subscription, but I would not want to have subscription yet because I would rather build the listenership in podcast, and then, figure out how to monetize it through subscription by giving them some extra special stuff. So I think the whole network should take that and run with it because, it's definitely a stress on us as far as being having to spend money to get that done. But I think if all five stations embrace this and share the cost, we could be there successful putting this podcast out there throughout each station and having them being located on Pacifica.org as a hub that has all the podcasts of all the stations and then looking for advertising on the podcast. It's based on volume. People pay you based on volume you have. So podcast grants and then those little tidbit of pitching. I also think that we're not collaborating as a network. There are people at other stations that are much better pitcher than we are at WBI, and then at WBI we also have some good content that they don't have. So if we mix that all up, we have good pitchers from all the stations together pitching different premiums and giving more diversity, we would have an increase in revenue. I mean, every time we have new premiums, premiums that people are interested in, we make a whole lot more money. Most of the money we make are based on 2-3 premiums. So if we can get premiums from other stations and we could all share that, we would all be more successful. And I just do not understand why everybody is so territorial thinking about just their own little station instead of focusing on the network. So I'm sorry, but that was my little lecture.
This is Kim. This is
Go ahead, Kim. Go ahead.
Well, I certainly support what Bertold says, and I do want to say that he has been very diligent about trying new things over time. Just because I have issues with this budget doesn't mean, you know, that I'm, like, condemning everything. I mean, I'm just picky about real numbers. But as to the podcasts, this is, in my opinion, a real problem because WBAI is apparently creating their own podcasts, and we learned when we reviewed the affiliates that they also are creating a podcast service. So this is like, how does this happen? Why is this not a network-wide issue? I mean, I sort of know why it happened, but I'd like to see it not happening anymore. So that's that. You know, we do need to work as an organization and, you know, do these kinds of things together. So
I agree.
That's it.
I agree with that.
I agree.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Listen, we are now at 10:13. We've got 2 minutes to go. Did I hear somebody else asking for the stack?
Yes, Chris.
Chris, I've got you, but I want to ask if there's anybody else who wants to say anything else, because we'll hit our time certain shortly, and unless we want to extend, we'll be done. And I, since it seems like we're coming back to this next week, there may be no need to extend. So does anybody else want to speak after Chris?
I was actually going to move to extend, but I won't bother if there's no further items on the agenda. Are there any other remaining items?
I was going to ask, you know, do our usual routine about how are you doing on your budget timeline, but we don't need to do that.
Okay. I'll stand down on that one then. I'll wait for anybody else to speak up. Thank you.
Anybody else have any other questions, any thoughts? We're kind of out of the realm of numbers here, and we're into sort of spitballing about new ideas, but we can get back to the real numbers next week.
Well, I'll say one thing about new ideas, since we're just spitballing.
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, if you don't mind.
Not at all, no, of course.
I never had much fondness for Tom Livingston, one of our many interim EDs. But he did have a lot of NPR experience. And the one thing he said that I have remembered that I thought was very useful, I mean, like the one thing, was that no matter what you do in fundraising, you have to change it up. That has been one of the main flaws in KPFK all of these years. You know, 20 years ago, they, you know, had this little formula of what worked, which was doing these, program exemptions and big fancy premiums. And the problem is KPFK hasn't changed for 20 years. Well, up until the last couple of years where everything's just gone haywire. You know, and that is the problem. It's like, okay, well, we need new ideas. Well, what are those new ideas? Basically, we don't really know what those new ideas are because we haven't really thought of them. You know, a lot of the stuff we have to invent as we go along and keep trying new things and coming up with new ideas. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Okay, thank you for that. Chris, did you want to come back, or are you going to wait till next week?
Yeah, I volunteered to stand down if nobody else is on the stack. I have a lot on my mind, but nothing can be covered in 2 or even 15 minutes. So,
okay.
I hope to speak to some of you in the off hours because I think there's a lot of ground to make up over the next week. And candidly, I've been out of town for most of the last month. So,
a lot of it is just me catching up. But anyway, I look forward to talking to some of you. Thank you.
Very good. So we'll put out another agenda, but everybody's on notice now. We'll be coming back to the WBAI budget next week for another stab at it.
I have a question.
Who was that? Question?
Bertol.
Go ahead, Bertol.
Yeah, I have a question for Kim. Hi, Kim. How you doing?
Hi, Bertol. Sorry to be turning in the punch bowl, but, you know, that's who I am.
Nah, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I mean, you asked for documentation for BI buddy, things like that. That will be provided. The issue is, I think your major issue is that the actuals right now do not make it seem like the budget is realistic, you know. And so I believe that Julia mentioned that there are a lot of expenses that were accrued in the NEDA WBI 2022 first quarter that belong to 2021 that belong to the 2020 to the previous year. So once we settle these numbers, right, and then we can put the actual last year to the budget this year. The problem is, by the way, for the record, Julia has been working hard trying to figure out how to break down all these expenses by the minute detail so that they can fit and be easily comparable to our budget. Because in our expenses, we have a lot of things that are under administration / programming. So, you know, they have to be defined as either administration or programming. That's a vestige of the past, and vice versa. It could be development and admin at the same time. And I think that the challenge to the network, all five stations, is to really get our act together and come up with and abide by those income statements that do match what the budget would look like and that do match what NEDA has, how NEDA has booked them. So when that is done and our financial statement matches the budget, then it would be a lot more, a lot easier to compare the budget to the actuals. Like, for example, the BI buddy.
Bertol, we're running over time now. And I think that, Julia is working on that as we go along and hoping to produce something more definitive in a while on that. She's also working on the fiscal year 21 audit and keeping the financials up to date. So that's, you know, it's all a work in progress, and she's working very hard. But I think we're out of time. So can we call it quits there, Bertol, and we'll come back to it next week?
Sure.
All right. Thank you. Sorry to cut you off. All right, everybody. We're adjourned. See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.